Another interesting ruling from the federal judge, Jed Rakoff, whose name is yet again in the headlines. This time, he rejected a $285 million settlement between Citigroup and the Securities and Exchange Commission. That bank may now have to face trial over the sale of toxic mortgages, which ended up costing investors millions while bringing in profits for the bank. The judge, Judge Rakoff, says the public has a right to the, quote, transparency of financial markets whose gyrations have so depressed our economy and debilitated our lives, end quote. Joining us now, Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. And Louise, we have Michael Kaler with us of Butler University, who's going to go with all the legal implications of this. But let's start with Jed Rakoff, this federal judge, because this is not the first time that he's handed down a decision that has kind of surprised Wall Street.
So Jed Rakoff is very well known in the Wall Street banks. And when a company settles a case with the SEC, like, for instance, you know, a year ago, Goldman Sachs had a settlement with the SEC. What you hear immediately from people all over Wall Street after the settlement's announced is they pick a judge who will have to approve it. And if it's not Jed Rakoff, the people from all these banks say, phew, it's not Jed Rakoff, because he has this reputation. You probably remember 2 years ago, he threw out a settlement between Bank of America and the SEC over losses and bonuses paid at Merrill Lynch right before that merger took place between Merrill and Bank of America. And I met with him back then when he threw that one out. And what's very interesting about Judge Rakoff is he's really an intellectual and believes that the law is living and that, you know, judges have an important role in thinking carefully about if they push the law forward. And that's what he's trying to do here with Citigroup. He's saying the SEC has had this four-decade practice where they let companies settle without admitting or denying guilt. I mean, that's kind of become the definition of a settlement, is no admitting or denying guilt. And right. He's saying that shouldn't be, that a company, if they're going to pay a fine and if they're going to walk away from something, should have to admit some kind of guilt. We should know really if there's truth to some of the accusations.
Otherwise, it's just a license. It's just like buying a license to do business.
Right. That's right.
All right. Well, let me read the statement from Citigroup. They say, we respectfully disagree with the court's ruling. We believe the proposed settlement is a fair and reasonable resolution to the SEC's allegation of negligence, which relates to a five-year-old transaction. We also believe the settlement fully complies with long-established legal standards. In the event the case is tried, we would present substantial factual and legal defenses to the charges. That is the official statement from Citigroup. Let me bring in Michael Kaler, assistant professor of business law at Butler University. And Michael, can you explain the legal argument behind admitting of blame? How is that legally supported?
Well, that's the problem Judge Rakoff had in this case. This is a longstanding SEC settlement policy, and as Louise said, Judge Rakoff has called it to task in many cases. It just seems intellectually dishonest in many cases for companies to agree to these settlements without admitting or denying, but yet sort of on the sidelines denying the allegations of the SEC's complaint. And here again, like in the SEC versus Bank of America case and the Vitus semiconductor case, Judge Rakoff said, I'm not going to be a part of this, what he called previously facade of FCPA enforcement. The settlement procedure serves the interest of both the parties, the SEC and the corporate defendant, but it does not serve the public interest. And it's going to be very interesting to see what plays out in the coming months in connection with this particular case.
Well, let me ask you, Michael Kaler of Butler University, does this set a precedent then? Will we then see other judges relying on Judge Rakoff's ruling as they approach these kind of cases?
Well, trial court judges don't exactly set precedent, but, you know, Judge Rakoff is a very influential judge in a very influential federal court, and I think it's reasonable to conclude that more judges will become curious about this and perhaps follow Judge Rakoff's lead, and I think that will be a good thing. The transparency and accountability will be increased if we had more judges like Judge Rakoff taking an interest in this longstanding but problematic settlement procedure.
Although it sounds like the bankers do not want any more judges like Judge Rakoff. That's Michael Kaler of Butler University. So, Louise Story, let me go back to you. What happens if Citigroup goes to trial? I mean, I guess the fear from the beginning was that one of these banks would end up in court and get slapped with an enormous penalty.
So there's really three choices here that the SEC and Citigroup have to consider. There's three different paths. So, one, they could go back and make some sort of new settlement agreement in which Citigroup admits guilt to certain accusations.
And does that open them up to prosecution?
Well, no. So we'll get to that. So they could do that. It'll have to go back before Rakoff, and he may approve that if they admit guilt. What it opens them up to is more private litigation.
From
shareholders, investors. Shareholders and investors are already suing over a lot of things on Wall Street. And if you get a bank out there admitting guilt to something, it might make it easier for those investors to win the case. But they could do that. And from Rakoff's ruling, it seems like he might approve that. Or they could go to trial, and the trial would be before Rakoff, and try all the facts and put it before a jury, you know, kind of the old-fashioned way in America. So that's choice two. Or choice three is they could appeal his ruling to a higher judge to see if a higher judge would approve the settlement. The risk there for the SEC and for all corporate America is if a higher judge says, I agree with Rakoff, this is bogus, you know, these settlements have got to have admitting guilt, that would indoctrinate this more.
Then it becomes a precedent.
It really would be a stronger precedent. So that's what the Citigroup and the SEC have to decide. It's really not only high stakes for Citigroup, it's high stakes for the SEC, because if they can't do these kind of rubber stamp settlements in the future, it's less likely companies will settle with them. So they may have to go to court more, which means a lot more resources the SEC will have to put towards cases. And, you know, they don't have a lot of resources right now.
Yeah, that's no surprise. So the last question for you, Michael Koehler, is there any clue in Judge Rakoff's ruling at what he wants? Does he seem to want another settlement?
I think at the end of the day that the parties will settle this. Like Luis said, there's litigation risk on both sides here. The last thing the SEC wants to do is to go to trial and lose that case. And the last thing the SEC, Citigroup wants is this to be prolonged any longer and perhaps have a jury verdict that has collateral effects in other areas. I don't know that there's necessarily clues in his opinion, but I think it's reasonable to conclude, particularly after the new year, that a revised settlement agreement, one that is more tighter, one that requires Citigroup to perhaps pay more money, may pass muster with Judge Rakoff.
Only if it admits wrong, I think. That's Michael Koehler, Michael Koehler, Assistant Professor of Business Law at Butler University, and Luis Story, of course, Wall Street and Finance Reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.